What the f- was that?
Yeah, that's the intro, folks. Welcome to Palmcast.
Like, actually, I expected to be sat here for probably a couple hours with you, you know, chatting about all the contents of E3, and we've got nothing. I mean, we have a few tiny little things we could talk about, but wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was, I mean, I think if you just so much as Google SE, E3, you will get everything you need to know about it. I mean, it was quite funny. I'd come in from work yesterday and was rushing about trying to catch the conference in the end. And I was running in and out and I thought, oh, it's only a little while after. I shouldn't have missed too much. I remember putting into my room and putting everything down. I said, right, okay, but it's about 6:30. Here we go. And I just clicked onto it and said, thank you for joining the stream. Please visit Square Enix Presents for more information. And they kind of, so I just quickly looked up anything about Final Fantasy VII, especially Kingdom Hearts, anything we have. And you can see there's a bit of a fire going at the moment.
I was sat there and I was kind of expecting, because it started to do like a recap trailer. And I was like, no, that can't be it. We've been here 25 minutes. And that was it. I don't know what to say right now. And, you know, as the guy who founded KoopaCon, who works with you all the time to create this Final Fantasy fan event, I obviously love the series. I have a huge appreciation for Square Enix, but I am not going to be one of these people who's just going to say, you know, it's all fine, it's a dandy. I think they've slipped up.
No, I do agree.
You know, Kotaku posted like a follow-up to it, and their headline is Square Enix's E3 presentation was a joke. I think that, you know, if you're going to send out an email to everyone in your newsletter list that says we're going to have a bold, fresh start, basically, we've got a lot, I forget the exact wording for it. I'm going to see if I can find it here, but it was written in a way that gave the impression that something huge was coming. It was, our next chapter is about to begin. The journeys we will take, the demons we will face, the heroes we will become. Our next chapter is about to begin. I'm pretty sure someone also said that at the beginning. I can't quite recall, but the guy came up and was like, oh, make sure you watch to the end for a big surprise. Well, what was the surprise? That it was 25 minutes long?
That's how it was written. It was, please stay tuned to the end, I believe.
Yeah, but nothing happened.
No, and I think even if, like, one of the biggest pulls people were expecting for this year was obviously Kingdom Hearts 3, because they knew it was supposed to be coming soon.
Exactly.
But he dropped the trailer at least about a day or two before this.
And they dropped the release date before we even got to E3 coverage.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure how much of E3 you caught, but I've seen all the major ones so far, and I'll be watching Nintendo today and hoping to God that we're not recording while it's on. I think it's soon. So, you know, I am disappointed. You would expect the way that they, I mean, we had this discussion a couple of days before and we were like, well, if they've dropped the Kingdom Hearts release date, which by the way is, you know, it's not going to be in 2018, like they said, don't even get me started on that. I think that we all expected that the fact that they'd pushed that out quickly meant that something else was coming.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Gave a lot of hope to be something.
Instead, we got a Kingdom Hearts trailer, several versions of it with slightly more worlds shown off and whatnot, which was great. But that was about it. There was I'm quite excited for the Monster Hunter World 14 crossover. It was nice to see Octopath Traveler again, but it was nothing we hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. There was some other coverage of other games and franchises that they're involved in. But let's face it, we were all waiting for, at the very least, I expected a 15 update.
The new, like with all the new DLC that's been mentioned, they expected at least a little even if you have nothing to show for it physically, just to be able to say something's coming soon. But I guess what they did is having that video presentation meant they didn't have much of a platform to even so much as say that, which is quite a pity, because I think that's what people need, is just a little bit of faith to know that at the very least they're acknowledging that this is what a lot of people are still interested in and waiting on. So I mean, there's this thing that's been going around. There's one thing that people are saying for quite a while is they expect the 7 remake to come on the PS5, and you know, a lot of people say that's just a bit silly, it's too far away for thinking that. But I've been actually catching a lot of discussion online lately since their video presentation, and a lot more people are siding with the idea that
I completely agree. Everything that leans towards that now, as you know, I've been working on a video game convention here in PEI, and I've kind of tried to keep my finger on the button a little bit more recently. And, you know, even Sony have said that the PlayStation 4 has reached the end of its peak, and that now production will continue, but the golden year is done. And now it will be that slowdown before a new console is introduced. And I think that they said that it will be a minimum of 2 years before they introduce another console. So, which would line up perfectly with the thought of, you know, what will happen with the remake. So, frankly, I think we're going to see very little for the next 2 years.
Possibly, yeah. I think 2020 people are kind of predicting a PS5 release of some sort.
But that's really, the case, could they have not dropped one trailer? Incy wincy little thing. They already announced recently that Nobuo Uematsu was jumping in to be involved again. They could have just showed just one clip from a voice actor in a studio, or just a shot of Midgar, or just like 6 seconds of a battle. They could have done anything. So whoever is working and decided on the E3 lineup on this, it has failed. I'm sorry. This is quite possibly the biggest screw up I've seen in a long time. I'm really disappointed as a fan, but I'm even more disappointed from a KubaCon perspective, because as you know, we had actually held off posting our schedule until the day after, just in case there was a big announcement that we wanted to incorporate. Well, the only thing I could incorporate is how absolutely disappointed fans are. And I don't want to jump on that bandwagon where you're like, oh, people are just ungrateful. I think that the Final Fantasy community have a right to be slightly pissed off right now.
Considering how many years, especially for this, it's been...
It's three I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been exactly. And when you consider that they've had an entire section themselves to do all this, you think it was really given a lot of hope for that point. And we know, since we discussed that Airbus image that was released about 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we know there is some new material out there that they could have utilized in this. But as you say, at least in one optimistic light, we do have a decent bit more content about Kingdom Hearts 3, for example. There are three different trailers. Now, one is just a kind of variation of the Frozen one. And then there's the Pirates of the Caribbean one, or the Caribbean. Have you seen that one?
I have, yeah. That was in the PlayStation. That was in the Sony one last night.
It's and I don't quite know interesting.
I don't know if you noticed, and I think it was quite clear why they've pushed it to January, is that during the Pirates of the Caribbean scenes game footage, the rendering rate was very low. The frames per second, if you go back and watch it, were quite low. So it shows that that's still, that portion is probably still quite heavily work in progress.
And I think there's been, from what I also have gathered, is ever since they had that, I think it was a launch event a while ago, a lot of feedback that was given is that sort of felt, they called it too floaty.
Right.
So they felt like his physics and the mechanism controlling him weren't quite perfected. So that could be another reason why they pushed it back a little bit. Now, it's only pushed back by a little bit, because there's no way, if it was 2018, it's going to be any earlier than November or December. So
well,
it's not too bad
thing,
as a whole.
Like a company of that size with that kind of magnitude, and I would assume quite the magnitude of profit, you would assume that they could have at least found a few more people to work on it to just put it out 1 month earlier. I mean, come on. I don't know. I sometimes feel like what I said in the last episode, how I've been told that the Japanese office really kind of keep to themselves and just push out information, and then everyone has to just jump when they say how high, you know? I'm quite disappointed.
It's quite interesting you mention that there, because it's, if you actually go onto the Japanese versions of the trailers, there's some of them have some differences. Like, here's a little tip for the big fans out there. If you check out the Japanese version of the Pirates of the Caribbean trailer, for whatever reason, there's actually, you get about 3-4 seconds of a different character included. His name's Melusia, and he's in that trailer where he's not in the English one. So they are the same length of time. So they take away 3 seconds of the English version and put in this 3 seconds of something else in the Japanese version. So I suppose if you watch Children Mall, you'll get a little bit more out of that. But it is interesting how they've been handling E3 as a whole.
Or not handle. I mean, they do have a couple of days of scheduling. I can bring that schedule up here, actually. 1 second. We'll look and see if there is anything. Now, obviously, if they were to cover 7 now, that would be stupid because they had an opportunity and they kind of missed it. They may do. Maybe they'll look back and be like, Christ, we need to at least mention it now or people are going to kill us. So I'm looking at it here. It does say that they're going to have a grand opening on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. British Standard Time.
Okay.
So who knows? Maybe we're all being too harsh and maybe we'll have to re-record this episode in the day. But then they've got some Final Fantasy 14 content later in the day. Then Shadow of Tomb Raider, the E3 trailer lineup, Just Cause. Then they've got the mention of this mini game, The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, which is based in the world of Life is Strange. They've got a focus on Dissidia. Dragon Quest, Star Ocean, Dissidia again, the Opera Omnia game, which is the mobile version, and Tomb Raider again, Metro Exodus, Formula One, Brave Exvius, Kingdom Hearts, Union Cross Thursday. So there's a community showcase as well, Nier Automata, and some live gameplay of Kingdom Hearts. But, there's no denying that it is disappointing, and the comments from people are really harsh.
They are, and I think and a touch gritty at times. I think it's one I've seen on Twitter was saying, if you're not quite sure why you don't understand SC's conference in full, you have to get 1.5, 2.5, 2.8,
yeah,
and then you get the final release.
Funny.
As you pointed out, though, even if they decided to release something in the middle of all this, it's still been a terrible move. And if you want the proof of that, is if you actually type into Google now, Square Enix shares, they've dropped by about 5% during that time they did. Yeah.
Wow, it doesn't surprise me. And as I said, I am a huge fan of the series. That's quite obvious from the kind of work that I'm doing here.
Naturally.
And so I mean no disrespect to the wonderful people that work at Square Enix. They obviously do a good job overall. But there's, some massive mistakes have been made here.
So, I agree.
Very disappointing. Just a short clip would have saved them. But unfortunately, so it is. It's been done. And I guess we there's not much more we can say. Hopefully, perhaps that there'll be something to salvage in the next couple of days. There,
all I can say is I got a bit of Spyro, so I'm very happy with that. So I can move on.
Did you watch the live gameplay of that? Like that?
I did.
It's good. It looks good. And I didn't realize they did it from the ground up. Now I will admit I never played the original. I'm excited to play this.
I'm going to have to send something in the post to you then, I think.
So, should we talk about the schedule for Pomathon?
Yes. Let's move on then, shall we?
So, the schedule for Pomathon will be up by the time this podcast goes out. But it would have literally just gone out. It's going out today. Assuming everything goes well, this recording will be out shortly. So, it's a very full schedule. And like I said in CooperCast yesterday or the day before, whenever the hell it was.
You're still sick.
Yeah, it's the drugs. It's a very full schedule, but I'm hoping that people will understand why I've done it. I want to make sure that we don't have 500, 600, 700 people wandering around the market, because it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of people who don't realize yet that we're spaced out over different floors.
Yeah, when they get there, they'll understand why we've gone to use this measure. Now, you have to understand that this booking was made just after we sold out at Pomingham Palace. Mm-hmm. And we made this booking way before we actually physically went to Pomingham Palace and realized that the venue was, you know, on the tighter side. So while this venue is 31% bigger, I still expect it to be quite busy.
Yeah,
and now that we know that the demand is there, when we make future bookings, we can make sure that we act appropriately. Unfortunately, there's certain things you don't know until it happens, right?
That's it. Same way, you know, we could have not, if we had we not visited the venue,
yes,
in advance.
Oh,
we'd
God.
Have, you know,
oh, be quite a God. Shock. I just remember walking in and I was like, "You are kidding me, right?" And she's like, I was like, "You can't fit everyone in here." And so that's why they gave us the whole venue, but that was a mess.
I think she's quite relieved that, you know, she's able to say, "Well, it wasn't me you were talking to." So
yeah, well, that didn't help us.
She's gone. No.
So the market will be, at this point, it's quite clear that the market will be on the ground floor. Whether it will take up the whole ground floor or just a portion of it is not quite clear yet. Mm-hmm. There's going to be around just under 50 tables, which is for a UK event is quite a bit. And as we've said, yeah, you know, the majority of stuff is FF related. So that's a lot of Final Fantasy merchandise in one building.
Oh, that's definitely.
And there's some wonderful artwork, you know. I've never really been a fan of things like keychains and this, that, and the other. But mm-hmm. recently I've been like actually taking the time to go through the AA and I'm like, wow, you know, there's some really nice stuff. I've got some really nice prints. I got some very nice prints from Pomtropolis.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to getting those up on the wall soon. So yeah, the market.
What kind of things?
I got a Luna and a Noctis print, and they're kind of like tarot card style. The prints are 11x16. I forget the artist that did them, but they were very good.
Lovely.
Then the middle floor. Right now, we're not entirely sure if the Calmlands will be there, but we're going to stick it in anyway for the time being. Mm-hmm. Then we've got, it may not be on the preliminary schedule, but we're looking at the Calmlands as an option. Obviously, there'll be a Tripalm area, workshops, record keeper section. And then the top floor, which is where the theatre is nonstop, apart from a lunch break. But when I say nonstop, there are 15-minute intervals. And the entire idea is so you don't just sit there all day, you can pick and choose. You know, yep. If you want to do it, you can. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to.
Yeah, and I think when this schedule goes up, people will look at it and they'll realise there are going to be some panels they're just not going to have as much interest in because mm-hmm. they're a bit more specific than other ones. In which case, perfect opportunity to go around and float down the other two floors and see what else is there. Then back upstairs for when that one panel you just can't miss comes along. So it'll work out very well.
I think that the ones that I'd recommend, obviously the opening ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy XIV panel is specific to people who like Final Fantasy XIV. The Who Wants to Be a Gillionaire, I generally encourage as many people to join us as possible for that one because that's going to be a blinder. Calling for Guests is definitely one not to miss because that's the focus guests on our special guests, so definitely check that one out. The Final Fantasy Showdown is kind of going to be like it'd be very similar to what we did in Vancouver, which was Final Fantasy I Choose You, which is a debating topical discussion where we kind of beat each other up on our favorite Final Fantasy games.
Yes, not literally. Where we go from, you know, it's good to respect other people's opinions to just for these 45 minutes to really try, you know, and up your own one.
Yeah, exactly. And then we've got the Final Fantasy Mobile panel, which may not interest everyone. And then obviously the closing ceremony, which I think is something not to be missed for sure.
Oh, definitely.
So it has good flexibility because even if you miss one panel, that would then give you like almost an hour and 15 minutes to do whatever you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And there's the lunch break as well. So even if you just missed one panel, that would give you 2 hours during the day to do whatever you wanted to do.
Exactly.
So, you know, and we want to keep you entertained. That's kind of the purpose of it, right?
That's it. And I mean, even all this time as well, between the signings now, we've learned from Pontropoulos that the queues this time around are going to be a lot more manageable for everyone involved.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, the new system works wonderfully. Mm-hmm. So I was looking through some of the comments about 2.1, and someone said that they wanted to see more love for earlier gen Final Fantasies in Tripalm. And you know as well as I do that Gen 3 has quite a few earlier characters.
Yes. And
go on.
So I noticed one person in particular looking out for a very particular card. Now, I'm not sure if she's one of our patrons, but...
What was she looking for?
I tell you, she's looking for a Bart's card.
Oh, well, she's in luck then.
Yeah, so...
So, you know, there are a lot of earlier Final Fantasy cards in there. The only reason you're seeing them is because Gen 2.1, we only introduced a handful of cards. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we really specifically picked them because they were the cards that we wanted. It was based on the artwork that was available to us at the time of printing. Mm-hmm. So we did select some of them, but we were going based on what was available to us at the time to get the order in.
Yep, that's true.
So everything's kind of rolling along in that front. I noticed that there was really no discussion, which I thought was quite surprising, that there was no discussion about the Hymn of the Faith at the beginning of KoopaCast.
Yes, and I was quite, because I know what that's about, and that was the first thing I was looking out for when I was watching the episode yesterday, and Evan was just talking about the Hymn of the Faith, thought it was lovely to hear the music, and just didn't seem to think there's anything in that. But now that we're talking about it now, I'm going to have a couple of detectives.
I hope so. So maybe go back and watch that again and look out for future content, because it's not just the Hymn of the Faith.
Might be hiding it somewhere else.
You look deeper. So the episode, again, was a little bit shorter. It was only an hour, which is, that's saying something. You know, so I wasn't feeling 100%, but I think we covered everything that we needed to. Glasgow tickets are, you know, just around the corner. I think it's the 26th, isn't it?
For the
pre-sale day, I think, isn't it?
Yes, pre-sale is in 2 weeks, yes.
So I would probably suggest that, depending on our schedules, that we record the next episode, I'd say the 27th in the afternoon. Actually, tickets go on sale at 6 p.m., so it might even be fun to record it as and when tickets go on sale.
I think we did that about... our previous recording, we did it about 2 hours into the general sale.
Did we?
It was during the pre-sale or something. I'm not sure.
No, it was after the first day of ticket sales. It was console, yeah. But we should definitely hop on that.
Agreed.
It'd be exciting. And I think it's going to be a big opening. I really do.
Yeah, I find it in the UK, it always is very pleasant to watch the progress.
And, you know, we've got a lot of plans going forward for Gen 3. I'm trying to think what's been happening behind the scenes. We obviously, there's been a lot of preparation for Pomathon. Everything's really coming together now. And I think that everyone should be very pleasantly surprised. Starting to see people, you know, going, oh my God, got to get my cosplay ready. Kind of covered the whole fact that I suspect that the evening's going to kind of turn very ravey as the night goes on, which I think is great. I think it'll be a wonderful atmosphere. So I think that growth-wise, Pomathon is at its peak, and I think it'll stay there for some time now. Pom Sorcerer is, you know, will be next, and then we'll be very quickly into Glasgow. And then we've got a lot of other plans after that. We've already kind of touched on returning to New Jersey. So everything is moving quite nicely. I think it's going to be... I haven't quite decided when we should drop the rest of the Gen 3 cards there. But we could throw a few names out here that's coming in Gen 3.
Go ahead.
I know there's quite a few that people have named that aren't in Gen 3. And I've actually started making a list of cards that I want to put in the next gen after that.
Oh.
I guess I could
leave.
Okay, one card, for example, that's not in the current gen, Gen 3 coming, I'd really like to see a Esthar Soldier from 8. And then I'd like to see, God, here comes the argument, how you say it. Do you say Galbardian or do you say Galbadian?
Let's see.
I'd say probably Galbardian, I'd say, maybe.
Galbardian, yeah.
Okay, anyway, well, I'd like to see one of those soldiers in there. And I know a lot of people have been asking for Nyx, and Nyx is not in Gen 3, so I think that we might have to sneak him in Gen 4. Mm-hmm. But and I think... go on.
If I could drop one as well, I'd say Turks, perhaps in the future as well.
That's a good one. At I also moment, got Kenny Crow planned for Gen 4. I think that one of the things that we're looking at doing is... not introducing 50 cards in batches now, but continuing to get Wave to work on artwork and introducing the cards that we think are most appropriate at the time. So there may be some cards that she's already done that we're like, yeah, we can save that for later and get her to do some other artwork and bring those in quicker.
Exactly.
So what I thought might be fun is maybe in the near future is to go on the community group and post a poll with two images of two characters and say, which Tripom card do you want to see in Gen 3? And they have to vote for which one they prefer to have.
Ah, this is where we both gain and lose members all at once.
Yeah, exactly. But it would be fun to see the reaction from people. So
perhaps actually to extend that even further, we could incorporate that into some of our events where we do Final Fantasy Showdown. We could be there where we decide certain future cards as well.
Ooh, that's harsh.
Just to take it at her.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I guess we could wrap it up there. I honestly expected this to be like an hour-long episode where we were talking about how exciting it was and we were like going through every minute of every trailer.
Oh, yeah.
But it just wasn't to be. So I'm thankful for Square for allowing me to have a very flexible schedule today and allowing me to get more work done. But as a hardcore Final Fantasy fan who's probably dropped, you know, thousands of dollars on games and merchandise and the series, and you know, I am heartily, hopefully disappointed.
And bringing thousands of its fans together in community events.
I tried to do my bit. I just wonder how Dan's feeling today. I wonder if Dan woke up and was like, today is not going to be a good day.
Yeah, I hope he's a day off. I do hope he just happened to have booked his time off for holidays, because it's not going to... The thing is, it's an important thing people realise is that if they're going to vent against Square Enix, where they're doing it through Twitter or Facebook and whatnot, the people who are controlling those accounts, they didn't make these decisions. So you can be as good as guaranteed that, you know, and it's hard to know if the feedback will probably reach the higher ups in the head offices, but... don't go, you know, direct messaging your absolute ire, because it's people on the other end are probably just as upset as you are. They work there because they love it too.
I think it's important to keep it constructive too. Like, I know I opened with a bit of an abusive opening, but it's just for the humor of it. But you know, it's important to let them know that you're disappointed, but it's also important to be realistic. I didn't expect them to drop the whole game today. You know, I just expected something. Quite honestly, I wouldn't have even cared if it was a 7 remake. I just wanted something Final Fantasy related.
Yeah.
Not just a little smidge of 14, which quite frankly seemed to me like they were like, oh, well, we've got no FF content. We'll just throw that in anyway. It's been an eventful but uneventful week.
True that.
Wow.
I knew I wasn't expecting much of a trailer and stuff, but... I can wait to see my HD Nanaki. I can.
Tragic. Thank you for your time again, Alan.
No, likewise.
I know you've been busy, and I know that we have a senior team selected for Pomathon now, which is exciting.
We do indeed, and we'll get in touch with them ourselves soon. It was one of the most hardest things I've done with KoopaCon to date was leading that charge, because... It's the thing is, everyone who applies for these positions, I've probably spoken to, I think I worked it out at about 80-something%.
Wow.
Because they've spoken to a KoopaCon, they've messaged me in the past, and you just have to work with, I have to work with everyone else in the team here to make the right decisions.
Well, just so everyone knows, you know, if Alan picked you, great. If he didn't, it's nothing to do with me. There was a lot of interest in this. And at the end of the day, if you weren't selected, it is nothing personal. A lot of the people who I think found their way into a senior position for Pomathon, it's because we'd already worked with them. We knew what they were capable of. And at the event, at this specific time, we need people that already know the lay of the land.
Mm-hmm. And even for those who did apply and didn't get it, who did volunteer, and again, it came down to very specific areas. And just the general competition, as I say,
We do have quite specific requirements of certain sections, and some people have the specific skills. Again, our community is huge, and there will always be opportunities for you in the future.
Mm-hmm. So just keep it, us stay in touch, and you know, things will always open up, because that's we know this both the easy way and the hard way, because our team has definitely changed a lot over the last year, for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay,
but you and I are still about, so
we are. We're not going anywhere. We're here to stay. Thanks again, Alan, and I'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Thanks, Alex, for joining us again, and thank you once again to all our patrons for listening.
Oh my God, yes! I mean, like we're at 130 something now. I think, are we?
Wow.
Or somewhere we're over, well over 100. We're so thankful, guys. Honestly, if we keep going like this, I'm thinking maybe we need to set some milestones. You know, if we hit a certain number, that maybe we rank this up and start doing it more often, or start offering more content, or multiple shows with different people. I don't know. But we love to hear from you, so please do keep in touch.
Yeah, drop us your feedback. That'd be wonderful. Okay, well, wrap it up then again for the third time in a row. See you later, Alex. Bye to all the listeners, and thank you once again.